tomorrow's news today.
It's Sunday, August 17th, 2025. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Thank you so much for joining us on this evening special transmission. 4 hours of jam-packed analysis. You're not going to get anywhere else, truly. Tomorrow's news today with myself, Chase Geiser, your calls, and more. But tonight, in this first hour, I am going to respond to what really happened at the summit in Alaska, as I predicted. Exactly what I said is basically broken down. I am then going to look at the total hysteria claiming Trump setting up martial law by putting armed troops in D.C. and what's really behind that and why he's really doing that. I'll let you make your decision, what you think about what's going on. And then I'm also going to look at why Trump is so important and why I back him, and that's the fact he's taking down the globalist ESG system that so many people really don't understand how critically important it is. It's all coming up tonight, right here live, with myself, Chase Geiser, and more. Remember, you're the Paul Revere's, so take the live show feeds of all shows on X and share them now, and tell those you share them with to share them, and share the feed from Infowars.com/show, and our channel on Rumble as well. We're about to break it down tonight, straight ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geiser, your host of the Alex Jones Show this evening. We'll be going straight into tomorrow's news tonight, so I will be your host for the next 3 hours and 59 minutes. I guarantee that I will be taking phone calls at least for the final hour of the transmission this evening, so please keep your phones close by. I'll let you know as soon as I begin taking calls, and of course, the sooner you call once the lines are open, the more likely I am to be able to get to you. We have so much to talk about. It is absolutely mind-boggling. I believe this is the first live transmission that we've had since the historic peace summit meeting between Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump in Alaska this week. And we're going to be showing you reports from Alex Jones directly covering what happened there, the controversy around the B-2 bomber flying overhead and whether or not that was actually a flex. I think it's really hyped to think Alex is probably going to say something like that too, but we'll see. And we've got many more reports from Alex Jones coming up throughout the first and second hour of the transmission today. New deals on the ESG, new information on Ed Martin and what's been happening with this task force to combat the weaponization of the Department of Justice. All insane, all happening now. Plus, scientists in China are developing the world's first pregnancy robot, which can give birth to a live baby, according to the Telegraph. So we see this technocratic dystopian response to the massive depopulation crisis being faced in China, which is really escalating toward World War III. New York Times has called for insurrection and the destruction of the Constitution twice in 48 hours. And so much more news. Before we get to the news, on the other side of this break, and I show you these reports from Alex Jones, I do want to remind everyone to go to thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason that Alex can always be on the air. We've had an insane week with product launches and old products coming back in stock that had been out of stock for an extended period of time. I highly recommend that you check out the Bovine Colostrum Plus at thealexjonesstore.com. It is incredible what this product can do for you. It's been flying off the shelf. It's the first product that we've launched since Methylene Blue that has been outselling Methylene Blue, but it's not just that. The Ultimate Life Force is back in stock, which has the NAC in it, this incredible compound that was almost outlawed during COVID because it was so effective. Incredible for reducing oxidative stress in our brain cells, our neurons, for focus and energy, plus so many other blood cleaning benefits. And we have the Ultimate Turmeric Plus back in stock. These gummies are delicious. They're peach flavored and they actually taste like peach. Plus it's incredible what it'll do for you for your inflammation. So please go to the AlexJonesStore.com, not just because the Bovine Colostrum Plus is amazing for you, or the Ultimate Life Force is incredible for you, or the Ultimate Turmeric is back in stock, and it's also incredible for your inflammation, but because every dollar that you spend at the AlexJonesStore.com is a round in the heart of the New World Order globalist cabal. And keeps Alex Jones on the air. And so what better way to fight for freedom by fighting for your body, your mind, and your rights all at the same time by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Honestly, I can't think of a better way to fight back against the globalist New World Order satanic human trafficking child abusing cabal. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com and be the American hero that we all need you to be. Stay tuned for more breaking news on the other side.
TheAlexJonesStore.com. I bring you whatever I personally think is the best and the coolest. That's our marketing plan. This knife sells all day long in stores for $100 or more. We bought a whole bunch of those. We can sell it to you for $78. Stainless steel, blacked out, double-edged, razor-sharp, 1776 on the hilt, high-tech scabbard, hooks on your belt, doesn't come out, is amazing, right now at TheAlexJonesWar.com for 40% off despite the fact it's selling out. And then this, World War II updated trench knife, 10 inches, razor-sharp, stainless steel, Spartan, tip of the spear. You can get this massively discounted up to 40% off right now with the Blades and Bullion Super Sale at TheAlexJonesWar.com. And that goes for these four silver collectible coins that are selling out as well, up to 40% off right now at TheAlexJonesWar.com. So take action.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, as I exclusively told you 4 months ago, I have talked to high-level officials in the DOJ and the White House. They know the deep state must be indicted. They know that Trump will be thrown in prison when he's out of office in a few years. They know the globalists will destroy the country. This is not the Trump of 8 years ago. There will be indictments. The proof is overwhelming. And I told you that the task force leader, Ed Martin, has been unleashed with over $1 billion in funding and close to 1,000 employees of the DOJ to wage war on these people. And now, he just went on Fox News today, and he doesn't talk crap in 25 years, former head of the Eagle Forum. Incredible record, incredible courage, and he said, I have been unleashed by Pam Bondi of the DOJ. Now, that's coming right down from Trump. Crossfire Hurricane, all of it. Fannie Willis, Letitia James, Jack Smith, Hillary Clinton. That's why Hillary Clinton suddenly kissing Trump's ass, saying give him the Nobel Peace Prize, because they are running scared. This is not where we were 8 years ago. This is a different world. They tried to kill Trump twice. But that makes the globalists even that much more dangerous. That's why they're hyping up martial law, attacking ICE, doing their job. They're getting ready with a false flag. It's all going down. I've got more reports coming tonight on Trump's huge success, what's really behind the Russia-Ukraine summit in Alaska, and more tonight. Stay with us. Here is Ed Martin throwing down the gauntlet.
Real quick, what about the January 6th committee? Did they destroy evidence? Is there criminality there?
Of course. Of course, we're all in that too. And trust me, a lot of people did not get a pardon that were involved in the select committee, and they ought to be keeping an eye on their mailbox, because there's a lot to be asked about.
And the pardons that were given out were done by an auto pen. Are they legitimate?
Well, I'm the pardon attorney, so I'm in that too. I can tell you we're investigating how the pardons were granted. It was not like anything in the history of America what his staffers did, not just with the auto pen, but with faking him out on the memos. More to come, Maria. I'm telling you, Pam Bondi has let us loose, and when this comes out, it'll take the whole of these people's hoaxes down, and we're doing it bit by bit, and it's fantastic. It's a great privilege.
You know, if you would have asked me, if you would have asked me a week ago, in fact, I think I said this a week ago, whether or not any of these investigations were going to lead into any indictments, I would have said there's a 51% chance max that there were ever going to be any indictments. Well, why? Well, it's precedence. I would have said, look, it never happens. The political class is never held accountable. If they didn't get prosecuted for MKUltra, then they're certainly not going to get prosecuted for this. If no one was prosecuted for 9/11, this isn't going to happen. If Fauci was able to get away with gain of function and perjuring himself when he was testifying before Senator Rand Paul, then there's not going to be any accountability. That's what I would have said. I've said precedent shows that the corruption is so rampant here in the United States of America that it's very unlikely, statistically speaking, just from a purely analytical, no emotion, no gut, just looking at the paper and the history, very unlikely that there's going to be any indictments whatsoever. There's constantly investigations. There's always investigations. There's investigations in InfoWars and no prosecutions in the criminal court because we don't do anything wrong, of course. But then there's investigations into Hillary Clinton, and they find that they're not going to act on them, even though they admit that there was illegal activity. They're always looking into whether or not there was torture that was used and it was abusive, or whether it was a war crime in the wars in Iraq. They find maybe some lines were crossed. Nobody ever seems to get prosecuted. No one ever got prosecuted for the 2008 total collapse of our economy, which was orchestrated by the elites. in the political class who knew exactly what they were doing, just like Fauci knew what he was doing when he was spreading AIDS all over the country in the 80s. I would have said a week ago that it's very unlikely we're going to see any indictments, but it seems to me that that has just gone up to 75% likely that there's going to be indictments. And it's not just because of what Ed Martin said on a news broadcast, saying that he's been unleashed, but, you know, saying nice things about the President of the United States and his boss and Pam Bondi. It's not just the fact that he came out and said that he's been unleashed that makes me think so. It is the terror that I see from the Hillary Clintons and from the Brennans now as well, where they're obviously trying to kiss Donald Trump on the behind because they understand that the hammer's coming down. I don't know what letters they're getting from the DOJ. I don't know what questions they're being asked, if they're being subpoenaed. I don't know what conversations they're having with investigators who are looking into their litany of crimes against the American people and the United States government and our whole entire civilization. But something is happening that is shaking them up. And I want to show you clip 43 here. This is just from days ago. Hillary Clinton saying that if Donald Trump is successful in accomplishing the peace that he seeks to accomplish between Russia and Ukraine, he deserves the Nobel Peace Prize. Let's watch this very bizarre comment coming from Hillary Clinton. Let's watch.
Hillary Clinton came out last night, as many of you know, and said, wow, I think Trump's really trying to do a great job with Russia. And if he can get this war over without Ukraine ceding any territory, well, she'll nominate him for a Nobel Peace Prize. She knows the grand juries have been opened officially. Not rumors like 8 years ago, for real. She knows the subpoenas from Congress have gone out. She knows. Trump's not playing around this time. Just said a few weeks ago, he said, yeah, I blocked her getting indicted the first administration. This time we're doing it. So she's trying to kiss Trump's ass in the hopes that he somehow blocks these indictments. For all the incredible crimes she committed, working with Obama and Clapper and Brennan and Comey, with the Russiagate stuff, the Crossfire Hurricane, all of it. No, Hillary, you're a fraud and a criminal. Trump didn't start this war. You and Victoria Nuland and all the globalists did on record. George Soros. He's trying to stop it and doing a great job. Facing major headwinds. So everybody like, oh, Hillary's being nice. It's like Bill Maher suddenly likes Trump. It's because they are irrelevant. They're in the rearview mirror. This is a sign of our overall victory. That's why people are mad that Trump hadn't gotten this or that done quick enough or made a mistake here or there. Overall, he's shaking their ass. I'm not taking my ball and going home. I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not panicking. I'm holding Trump's feet to the fire. And his administration, we put him in to dismantle the globalists. And if you do a report card of it, it's doing a pretty good job. But Hillary Clinton, you can burn in hell, witch. For all your lawfare against Trump, myself, everybody else, for all your tyranny, dissolving the borders, Mayorkas, all you guys are one big, giant, sick cult. And you're going down. So a lot of conservatives, oh, God, Hillary even agrees. Oh, wow, Hillary's pretty good now. Wake the hell up, people. This is our sworn enemy who knows she's irrelevant and deep shit. Trump, and you know this, and I've talked to high-level folks, you will lose the midterms big time. They will put a Democrat in 3.5 years, and they will throw you and your family in prison and me along with you. If you don't do what has to be done, this country is going to be screwed if you don't. Save yourself, save me, save the Republic. Full speed ahead. Indict them. Try them. Convict them, imprison them. We're not in the old days of putting up with this crap anymore. Deep state declared war on us. We accepted the challenge. So fuck Hillary Clinton.
Trump were the architect of that, I'd nominate him for a Nobel Peace Prize.
We are on the precipice of a meeting between President Trump and President Putin in Alaska. Drawing on your experience as Secretary of State, if you were en route to Alaska, what would you be looking to get? What does an acceptable deal look like?
He is not meeting with a friend. He is meeting with an adversary, and an adversary who wants to see the destruction of the United States and the Western Alliance. But if he could bring about the end to this terrible war, where Putin is the aggressor
invading a neighbor country, trying to change the borders, if he could end it without putting Ukraine in a position where it had to concede its territory to the aggressor, had to, in a way, validate Putin's vision of greater Russia, but instead could really stand up to Putin to make it clear there must be a ceasefire, there will be no exchange of territory, and that over a period of time, Putin should be actually withdrawing from the territory he seized in order to demonstrate good faith efforts, let us say, not to threaten European security. If President Trump were the architect of that, I'd nominate him for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, there you go. And wouldn't it be funny if Donald Trump was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize by Netanyahu and Hillary Clinton in the same 12-month period? Nominated by the world's leading supervillains in the same 12-month period. But she's right. He would deserve that prize if he successfully averted World War III. And I think if anybody could do it, it's Donald Trump. I'm hopeful about it. I'm optimistic. But the only reason Hillary Clinton is saying all of these nice things is because she is feeling the hammer come down because of these investigations, these indictments, these grand juries. And I say indictments loosely. Of course, there hasn't been a formal indictment yet, but I think it is around the corner. I'm 75% sure now. Last week, I was 51% sure. Now I'm 75% sure, maybe even 80%, because it wasn't just Hillary Clinton coming out and saying all these nice things. Now Brennan is using the same exact talking points. They must have the same focus group operating, telling them what to say in order to curry as much favor with Donald Trump as possible. Here's Brennan in clip five.
Made me laugh the first time I heard it, but the truth is, Trump has never negotiated something this complex, and he certainly never asked Putin to give something back, to give back occupied territory and negotiate a ceasefire. Where do you put the odds of being able to convince Putin to do that after all of this very public pomp and circumstance in his honor?
I think the odds are probably 1 out of 100 at best. There is no way Vladimir Putin is going to give up the territory that he has gained in Ukraine willingly. This is not something that is in his personality to be able to just withdraw and to acknowledge publicly that he made a mistake. Again, Donald Trump, who believes he's the world's best negotiator, that's why I think he realizes that this is something way, way beyond his ability to even influence in a very positive direction. So what's going to happen in these meetings, I don't know. I hope that Donald Trump stays strong, pushes for a ceasefire across the board, not just an air ceasefire, but on the battlefield, freeze that so we can stop some of this suffering. But I really don't see Vladimir Putin reneging or pulling out of the territory that he's in now. But I would second a nomination for a Nobel Peace Prize of Hillary Clinton for Donald Trump if, in fact, that happens. But I see the chances of that being next to zero.
What are you thinking if you're President Zelensky today?
And he's saying, of course, it's never going to happen. But if it did, then he would certainly deserve a Nobel Prize. Maybe he thinks that it actually is going to happen. And that's why he's putting this up. I don't know. But it's very obvious that Hillary Clinton and Brennan are feeling the pressure from this Department of Justice. And this is the biggest indicator that there are actually going to be indictments despite decades of precedence. In fact, I want to show you clip 28 here in a second. This is Zelensky. I'm going to show you in a moment. Suddenly trying to use the Ukrainian Constitution as an excuse to defend his territory. And this is funny coming from Zelensky, given that he was basically installed after there was a CIA coup, which resulted in a civil war 10 years ago, 11 years ago, in Ukraine. He's then installed as the CIA proxy or cutout to lead Ukraine. He brutally fought this civil war for many years. There was reporting, countless reporting, of the Nazi problem in Ukraine by Vice and other mainstream media outlets for years We've shown you all the footage of the Azov Battalion, all of the radial suns and the Nazi symbolism that they espouse, the tattoos that they have, the rhetoric that they have, the salutes that they have, the flags that they have, the training that they have for the youth, similar to what Hitler had for the Hitler youth. I mean, it's very obvious that there's a neo-Nazi problem in Ukraine. 250,000 Ukrainians volunteered to join the SS during Operation Barbarossa because communism was so brutal for the people in Ukraine that when the fascists came, they felt relief. And I've said it before, I'll say it again because it's relevant. There is a cemetery in Elkins Park, Pennsylvania that has an iron cross with the Ukrainian trident. And this cemetery is full of Ukrainian SS officers here in the United States. While Thomas Jefferson is being torn down or George Washington is being torn down, statues of the founding fathers being torn down, Civil War heroes all over the country torn down, we've got an iron cross up, no problem, just 45 minutes north of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Those statues are just fine. There's a total Nazi problem in Ukraine. It's not just a Russian talking point to say that there needs to be a denazification of Ukraine. It's absolutely 100% true. But it's funny seeing Zelensky come out and say how important it is that he follow the Constitution, because remember all of the terrible things he's done, the egregious violations of rights that he's committed since he's been the leader of Ukraine. He's postponed all elections, which is the first sign, the major red flag that maybe there's a dictator and not an actual leader, a democratically elected leader in power. He's consolidated all of the media outlets in Ukraine, so they're all controlled by the state now. He's outlawed the Russian language being spoken in the country, specifically or especially on news media outlets. And he's even restricted or regulated the practice of certain religions like Russian Orthodox Christianity. But now he's coming out and saying suddenly there's an issue with conceding any territory to Russia because it's a violation of the Ukrainian Constitution, as if he gives a damn about any constitution whatsoever. Watch clip 28 here.
Russia is still unsuccessful in Donetsk region. Putin has been unable to take it for 12 years. And the Constitution of Ukraine makes it impossible to give up territory or trade land. Since the territorial issue is so important, it should be discussed only by the leaders of Ukraine and Russia at the trilateral Ukraine, United States, Russia. So far, Russia gives no sign that trilateral will happen. And if Russia refuses, then new sanctions must follow.
Well, there you have it, folks. We have these constitutional rules that prohibit us from conceding any territory or ceding any territory to Russia. We're not allowed to give up any of these regions because suddenly I care so much about the Constitution. We all know who you work for, Zelensky. You obviously work for the United States of America, because when there's a peace deal trying to be negotiated between your country and Russia, you're not even invited to the meeting. You're not even allowed to come to the meeting, Voldemort Zelensky, because you're so irrelevant and just insulting. And Trump and Putin both know that if you show up, you're going to screw it up. Putin knows that if you're there, you're going to piss off Trump. Trump knows that if you're there, you're going to piss off Putin. That's exactly what's happened here. So you're not even leader enough of your own country to be invited to peace talks for your own country. You're having to outsource it to the United States of America against your will, even, because that's how irrelevant you are, Voldemort Zelensky. And look, I'm not trying to insult you or belittle you, Zelensky. I understand that this position that you're in is incredibly difficult because you have to obey the CIA. Otherwise, you know that you're going to be assassinated and you're totally out of control of what's happening to your country while your own country hates you because you have been positioned as the front man for all the sins against your country that are being committed by our own deep state apparatus. And Vladimir Putin's no hero in this story. It's been a very brutal war. I understand that he's the antagonist here. You've been invaded by a foreign nation. It totally could have been prevented, as Putin admitted, as Donald Trump espoused as well. It could have been prevented if the United States had a good president when this war broke out. But your people are very upset with you, Zelensky. And the only reason that Zelensky draws breath is because of all the aid that the United States sends over there and the way that he's able to skim that aid and pay out all of his military leaders to keep sending men into the meat grinder. I don't know what the total count is. Isn't it like 2,000 to 3,000 men a day or something like that that are dying in this meat grinder? You got the drone warfare going on and a lot of speculation as to why this war has continued. And there's all this drone technology that's being tested and used in a war zone by the United States. And so that's one incentive that we keep this going on. But really, the real reason that we're keeping this conflict going on is twofold. The first reason is because the United States deep state is terrified of who's going to take over after Vladimir Putin retires. Who is going to take over the world's second or third largest nuclear superpower after Putin retires? So our own deep state is like, all right, we have to have as much control, pressure, as many angles of approach as possible on Russia. So if a madman takes over in Russia, we still can control their foreign policy by squeezing their economy, by exercising our sanction powers. That's the first avenue. The second avenue is we can't allow for Russia to have control over Ukraine because Ukraine feeds all of Europe. And if that agriculture is diverted away from Europe and into China, it will simultaneously starve Europe and make China independent of the United States agriculture. Right now, they depend on us for all their soybeans, for example, in China. And if they become independent of us in terms of agriculture, then that means that they can make a move on Taiwan without the United States really being able to do anything about it. If they do it now, we just pull all of our exports away from them and then they starve. And it's another great leap forward. So those are the two main reasons that this conflict in Ukraine has existed. But what's going to happen here, if we're lucky, is Trump is going to be able to accomplish peace between Ukraine and Russia, and Russia is going to get the regions that they want or they currently occupy. It doesn't matter what Zelensky says about the Ukrainian constitution because Ukraine as a nation works for us now. Unfortunately, they have no national sovereignty whatsoever. In fact, that's probably one of the main reasons that the globalists and our own deep state hate Russia so much is because they're one of the few nations left in the world that actually demands its own national sovereignty. It's Russia, it's China, and the United States of America to a certain extent. They all demand their own sovereignty, and they're the ones that are constantly under attack by the globalists from virtually every front imaginable. That's what's happening. But Ukraine has no national sovereignty. Even before this war broke out, there was no real national sovereignty. They'd already been invaded at the political level by the United States of America. And now the United States of America is at a proxy war with Russia over who controls Ukraine. But Ukraine has never really been at war over controlling itself or for the sake of controlling itself or determining its own future. It's only ever been at war on behalf of the United States, its former lord. In this neo-serfdom, this neo-fief that has been set up by the globalist apparatus of our own deep state, of our own national security apparatus. Folks, we're going to get into way more news, way more reports from Alex Jones on the other side of this short break coming up. I have to remind you to go to the alexjonesstore.com. This week, we had incredible new developments at the Alex Jones store. We launched the Bovine Colostrum Plus, which is incredible in terms of the nutrients that it provides you. It tastes wonderful. Frankly, it tastes like nothing, which is what I like about it so much, because you can put it in whatever drink you're already drinking, and you don't have to have any interference from some bizarre new taste. It's great to mix with the Methylene Blue, or if you have a protein shake that you use every day, or even the Optimal Human, which is an incredible product. Cellular Recovery and Defense Matrix, it is like nature's vaccine. I mean, you can look up the benefits of Bovine Colostrum, and you will see how enriched it is for your body and your mind. I had some today, and it's absolutely lighting me up like a Christmas tree. And this week only, buy the Bovine Colostrum Plus. Get any other supplement on the store for 50% off. It's an incredible opportunity to try something new, and it's not just because it's incredible for your mind and your body that you should go to the alexjonesstore.com, but it's because by doing so, you're keeping Alex Jones, this crew, and this network on the air. Go now and save the world from the New World Order.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our Ultramethylene Blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your Ultramethylene Blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. Ultimate Fish Oil is now available at InfoWarsStore.com after being sold out for more than 6 months. And we give it the name Ultimate, like so many of other products, because it is the highest grade, the very best you're going to find anywhere. Now, most people know how great fish oil is, but not all fish oil is made equal. A lot of it has been homogenized or basically boiled and cooked off, and it loses almost all of its good effect. This is the highest grade fish oil from three different amazing sources. Listen to this. Arctic krill oil is known as the best essential fatty acid. Then another well-known top one, wild anchovy oil and high-quality wild-caught salmon, also one of the top forms of it. It is back in stock. It is not just good for your cardiovascular system. It's good for everything. Take a few hours before you sleep, and a lot of folks have amazing dreams on it. You ever notice you eat like a good piece of fish that's fresh? You also have great dreams. You want to experience this. It's so good for your brain, your heart, everything. Ultimate Fish Oil, back in stock, InfoWarsStore.com. Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action. Taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off.
How do I explain to people that my tongue is blue? Because I love this stuff, methylene blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What is the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. Oh, you still like Brain Force? Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force and Brain Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple days. So I'm going to take my dose of methylene blue, my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process in the cell. It's like iodine at the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the media now. Share this broadcast. And now it's your host, Chase Geyser.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I am Chase Geyser. We have more reports from Alex Jones coming up throughout the remainder of the transmission this evening. And keep your phones close by because for the final hour or two of the show, I will be taking your calls. Obviously, the big news this week was the outstanding, unprecedented, amazing meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. Now, this meeting took place in Alaska, which right off the bat is a major victory for the United States because we've gotten Vladimir Putin to agree to come to the United States of America for the first meeting. Another thing that not a lot of people are talking about that's very unprecedented is we actually heard Vladimir Putin speak English very briefly, if I'm not mistaken, after this meeting took place. I believe he said, next time we'll meet in Moscow or something to that effect. So this time he's come to the United States. The next time that they meet, he wants Trump to go to Moscow. I think that's only fair. Even though meeting in Alaska was kind of meeting halfway for both the president and the president. But we know that Vladimir Putin is incredibly proud of Russia. He insists on speaking Russian. The only way that we're actually positive he even knows how to speak English is sometimes throughout history, we've noticed that he's corrected his own translators when they've made a mistake. And one could make the argument that he prefers to speak Russian instead of English because maybe his Russian is simply much more fluent than his English. But I am certain that he is very capable at speaking English fluently if needed. Former KGB guy, been very well educated, been around the block for a long period of time, obviously very interested in intelligence. I mean, this guy is cream of the crop, Russian intelligence, very bright, not to be underestimated. He speaks English. But up until this point, he's been very reluctant to do so, except for when he corrects his translators every once in a while when they make a mistake throughout history. Because why should I speak your language when we're talking about Russian issues? Or if you're going to come over to Russia, why would I speak English? I'm advocating for the Russian people. It's a Russia first move. It would be like if Donald Trump knew how to speak Russian fluently. Of course he wouldn't speak Russian all the time. Of course he would insist on speaking American English. Because he's supposed to be at least an America first president of the United States. But we did have that brief moment where Vladimir Putin said, next time we'll do it in Moscow or something to that effect. I don't have the clip right now, but I noticed that that happened. My wife actually pointed it out to me. That is something that is incredibly unbelievable that we've seen. And this meeting takes place. I don't know what the ultimate outcome is going to be. It's obvious that the meeting was a success, that progress was made. I think all of the talks about the B-2 bomber flying overhead are greatly exaggerated. I don't think that it was meant to be an act of intimidation on Vladimir Putin. After all, Donald Trump was standing right next to him, so any B-2 that flew over Vladimir Putin also flew over Donald Trump. I just think it was impressive and an act of honor. Look, if you can see it, it's not going to bomb you. I saw a lot of people joking, yeah, but the Russian jets are invisible in this clip. Because they're probably more advanced, given how much of a disaster the F-35B has been, for example, in terms of our military development. But this meeting was allegedly very successful. Do I know the specifics of what was agreed upon? No. Does anyone know? Not really. Are we actually going to see results? Maybe. My fear with these negotiations with Putin is that this is just a stalling exercise. We know that China is absolutely desperate right now in so many different ways for so many different reasons. They have a collapsing population, an average of one child born per woman, when 2.3 is necessary in order to have a holding pattern, a break even in your population. So they are suffering extreme population decline while manufacturing demand goes up. So since the number of people in the country is drastically collapsing, the demand for the manufacturing is going up. That means the cost of labor in China is going up, which makes them less competitive with other nations, whether it's the United States or Mexico or India, in terms of developing products. And they understand that if they don't win this robotics and artificial intelligence race that they're in with the United States, that they are going to lose their status as the central manufacturing hub of basically the world. And if that happens, then there goes their hopes to undermine the dollar as the global reserve currency in the 21st century. There goes any hopes for dominance. There goes any hopes for overcoming the American economy. So they are desperately trying to do everything they possibly can to ensure that the United States is weakened and that they win this artificial intelligence race and the space race at the same time. I mean, look, they are so desperate for children in China right now that we've got this in the overhead cam. New scientists in China are developing the world's first pregnancy robot, which could give birth to a live baby, according to the Telegraph. China is desperately trying to figure out how it can incubate as many babies as possible, Brave New World style, like something from Aldous Huxley style, because their population is collapsing so drastically. And they understand that the interim solution to their population crisis that they're faced with right now is winning this artificial intelligence race so they can replace their dying labor force with robots and artificial intelligence and maintain their competitiveness in the manufacturing field so that it can't be swept out from under them, causing them to lose all edge, economically speaking, into the 21st century and undermining their entire agenda for global takeover. That's what's really going on here. Why do I bring up China in the context of what's going on with Russia? Well, we know that China and Russia have been partnering quite a bit, especially as it pertains to BRICS and undermining the dollar as the global reserve currency. They've been meeting. North Korea, which is as much a China cutout as Ukraine is a United States cutout, is sending troops to fight on behalf of Russia in this conflict with Ukraine. So China is literally supporting Russia in this war in the same way that we're supporting Ukraine. Weapons, actual soldiers. It's even more explicit, actually. So you've got Xi Jinping wanting this war to go on for as long as possible between Russia and Ukraine because they understand that it divides our attention. By our, I mean it divides the attention of the United States of America. Why would they want to divide our attention? Well, because all of the technology used, all of the hardware used to develop this artificial intelligence is created in Taiwan by NVIDIA. So Taiwan is the new oil field. It's the new gold mine. It's the new uranium. It's the new most important resource location in the world right now because everything is centered around developing technology as rapidly as possible to replace these shrinking labor forces of the United States and of China and of Japan and of South Korea all at the same time. Everyone is vying for Taiwan as much as possible. And China understands that if it has any hope of ever seizing Taiwan again, it's best that the United States of America is distracted on another front with another war. So very interesting to see that Vladimir Putin would be coming to the United States to meet with Donald Trump in order to negotiate some kind of a ceasefire or a peace deal or terms for peace between Russia and Ukraine moving into the future when we know that Xi Jinping is trying behind the scenes to do everything he possibly can to extend this war for as long as possible and has almost certainly made that abundantly clear to Vladimir Putin. And it reminds me of what we witnessed when World War II started for the United States of America. You can look back at the old FDR speech that was given, a day which will live in infamy, and how he criticized this brazen and unnecessary and unexpected attack from Japan on the United States of America. Remember Pearl Harbor? What happened? Allegedly, at least. We were surprised. Maybe we were. Maybe we weren't. I tend to have mixed feelings about it. I'm sure that many of us were surprised, or many aspects of the government, departments within the government were surprised when some may have known. I don't know if we allowed it to happen as an excuse to get into the war. But if you'll remember correctly, if you'll look at the history of what happened with Pearl Harbor in World War II, the Japanese were acting like everything was fine for an extended period of time. They were still engaged in peace talks with the United States of America, bowing and giving gifts and saying nice things and expressing optimism for the future and the partnership and peace. And then, boom, we were just bombed like crazy. Kamikaze pilots, torpedoes, sinking ships, all because of the oil that Japan needed in order to continue in its involvement with the Axis in the war. And so I'm thinking about what Japan did, meeting with us, acting like it was interested in peace or de-escalation or working things out or negotiating new trade agreements or getting oil maybe a different way. When I look at what happened between Japan and the United States leading up to December 7th of 1941, it reminds me of what we just saw last week between Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump. And I'm not saying this to criticize Donald Trump or to undermine Donald Trump or to villainize Vladimir Putin. I've got mixed feelings about him, too. I'm sure he's not the hero that, you know, many of us may have imagined. I'm sure he is just as much a villain, although for completely different reasons, as the deep state has branded him to be. But I see him coming to Alaska to meet with Trump, and apparently the meeting went really well, but there were virtually no results of the meeting yet. Reason to believe that there will be, but could this just be another moment in stalling this conflict as long as possible to buy time for China to attempt to invade or annex Taiwan? In fact, I would not be surprised if within the next 60 or 90 days, we see massive movement from China on Taiwan before this conflict between Russia and Ukraine is actually resolved. And so the United States may come to a point where it has to decide between Ukraine, the breadbasket of Europe, and Taiwan. Now, given that we're in this artificial intelligence arms race, the likeness we haven't seen since the nuclear arms race that we were in World War II and then the ensuing decades following, what's going to happen is the United States is going to choose to defend Taiwan against the CCP, so we win the AI race, and then Ukraine is going to be left wide open to be annexed by Russia. And it might not be just brazenly annexed, just blatantly, explicitly annexed. It's probably going to be something more like what we saw in 2014, where a new government is installed and there's the face of autonomy and sovereignty in Ukraine, and it's still called Ukraine and it's still its own country, but all of the leadership in the cabinet at the highest levels of Ukraine would be completely controlled by Russia. That's what an annexation of Ukraine looks like. I don't think it's going to be a going in necessarily, taking over the whole country in an occupation like we would have seen in World War II. I think it's more of, all right, we're going to steal this U.S. cutout. We're going to make it a Russian cutout because you're going to divert all your resources to defending Taiwan. And the earliest indicator that this is going to happen is you're going to see the NVIDIA stock tank. And then within a couple of weeks or a few weeks, that's when I think you'll see the invasion or annexation of Taiwan. And look, I know China has been talking about taking Taiwan. They call it Chinese Taipei. The WHO even calls it Chinese Taipei. They won't call it Taiwan. They recognize it as an extension of China or a part of China, the one China policy, whatever the hell. I know they've been talking a big talk for a long time. I know that that's kind of what communists do. They talk a big talk. Gorbachev famously said, our power comes from the perception of our power. Rocketman famously said, I'm going to launch rockets and blow you up and whatever. China has been saying for years that Taiwan is part of China. Nothing ever really happens, but it doesn't really ever happen until it does happen. And eventually, I do believe that the Chinese are going to make a move on Taiwan, because I think they're going to come to the realization, if they haven't already, I'm certain they have, that it's an existential issue for them. Because if we win the artificial intelligence arms race, that means that we undermine their manufacturing capability in the world, because we could produce stuff with AI here for just as cheap as they could ever produce stuff with AI there later, if we get there first. Certainly cheaper than they could produce it with a dying labor force. And if we simultaneously win the AI race while establishing the Golden Dome, that means we have unilateral surveillance on the entire planet, potentially unlimited energy from solar-based solar power, space-based solar power, but surveillance, defense, offense, it's all seeing, all present, all-knowing, all-powerful U.S. government stuff that we see if we win this AI race. And we would be able to maintain the dollar as the global reserve currency, so we would just see the crippling, I mean unprecedented suffering in China if they don't take Taiwan. There's no way they're ever going to win this AI race. They might be getting some chips from NVIDIA, but they're downgraded versions, just like we give downgraded versions of the F-35 to our allies in Israel, so that in the event that one of the planes crashes in enemy territory, they can't be reverse engineered to match our highest performing jets. We're going to see the same thing happen here between China and the United States, where we ensure that NVIDIA is only sending out the lowest grade stuff, and they'll try on the black market to get the highest grade stuff so they can reverse engineer it, but with a shrinking labor force and shrinking expertise and a crippling economy as a result of this, they're not going to have the labor or the intelligence, the resources to compete with our engineers and our scientists. And we see that NVIDIA is moving a lot of its resources here to the United States, even here to Texas as we speak, because they're trying to get away from needing Taiwan. They see the writing on the wall. We've seen the leadership in Taiwan do the podcast tour, whether it's with Sean Ryan or others, talking about how the Chinese threat is imminent. We've been so quiet about that here in our own media because we've been so focused on resolving peace between Ukraine. But the reason the deep state, the Clintons, the Brennans, and others want peace so rapidly between Russia and Ukraine is because they understand that peace must be achieved there if we are to be able to establish protection for Taiwan in the event of a Chinese assault or annexation. That's why all of the attention is on Ukraine. The American people are left asking themselves, why do we even care? But it's a nuanced and very important issue, this conflict with Ukraine. And look, I'm scared of entering into this technocratic age, not just because the Chinese are trying to breed babies in incubator robots, like something from A Brave New World, but because our very own technocratic system, which is so involved in this artificial intelligence race, is in and of itself incredibly corrupt, astoundingly corrupt. Meta's shocking AI scandal, chatbots cleared for steamy talks, sexual talks, with kids as young as 8 years old. This is breaking. Meta platform faces intense scrutiny following a Reuters investigation that exposed internal guidelines permitting its AI chatbots to engage in romantic or sensual conversations with minors as young as 8. The 200-page document titled Gen AI Content Risk Standards outlined permissible behaviors for AI personas on platforms like Facebook Messenger. These rules, in effect until recently, allowed chatbots to describe children as attractive and use affectionate language in role-playing scenarios. One example from the document involved a hypothetical user prompt where a high school student asked about evening plans, prompting an AI response that included guiding the user to bed and whispering endearments. So we're entering into this artificial intelligence race, and I hear stories like that from our own technocratic machines, industry leaders. And I wonder if winning this AI race and winning this space race is a good thing. Obviously, it's better than if the CCP wins. But our own government is obviously every bit as corrupt. The only difference between our government and every other government in the world is our Constitution, which is constantly riddled with bullet holes, to the point where it's shredding kind of right before our eyes. But it seems to be holding our government back in some sense. But we saw what happened with the false flags, whether it's Gulf of Tonkin, whether it's 9/11, whether it's this COVID pandemic hysteria that we just came out of, came out of. We're still facing the effects of it. We've seen how corrupt our own government is. We've seen how corrupt it is at going after political dissidents, after what it did with MKUltra, after what it's done through public education to brainwash our children into being convinced that they were born the opposite gender of the body in which they inhabit. We've seen what it's done to protect the mutilation of these very same children, putting everyone on SSRIs and then blaming the Second Amendment for the mass shootings when every single mass shooter that I can think of has been associated with SSRIs. I mean, SSRIs are more correlated with mass shootings than assault rifles. Vast majority of mass shootings are done with handguns, you know that, right? But they always come after the assault rifles because the handguns are used by minorities and they don't like to depict minorities being guilty of mass shootings because it's gang related and it's black on black crime. But when it's all white kids shooting up a school, whether they're trans or not, then all of a sudden it's an AR-15 issue, it's an assault rifle issue, it's a Second Amendment issue, but nobody's talking about the SSRIs. Mass shooting happens. Oh, it's Alex Jones's fault for the suffering that has ensued since this terrible tragedy has taken place, but it has nothing to do with Big Pharma. Even though Big Pharma was single-handedly responsible for intentionally infecting tens of thousands of Americans with HIV during the 80s, just watch the documentary Bad Blood while Fauci was leading some of these immune research programs. Bayer's and others sued everywhere else, but basically not here in the United States, barely here in the United States. I think everybody got a payout of $100,000. After they made millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of dollars infecting hemophiliacs and others with AIDS in the 80s, resulting in the deaths of people like Ryan White. You can look up Ryan White's funeral. He was a hemophiliac, infected with HIV, hepatitis, eventually, of course, turned into AIDS in the 80s. Then he died right after he graduated from high school. Michael Jackson was at his funeral. Elton John was at his funeral. You can see the footage of his funeral. This was all under Fauci's leadership, all under the major pharmaceutical company's leadership here. So we know the pharmaceutical companies are totally happy with allowing the deaths of tens of thousands or millions of Americans or tens of millions of people throughout the entire world under the influence of the WHO and the Bill Gateses and the Soroses and others. But whenever there's a mass shooting, no one ever seems to go after her. The pharmaceutical companies making the SSRIs that are driving these teenagers to utter insanity before they commit these mass shootings. Instead, they go after the Remingtons or the Alex Joneses, or they call for more bans or regulations on assault rifles. Why is it that nobody goes after these pharmaceutical companies? Maybe it's because the same people that go after the Second Amendment rights are in bed with the pharmaceutical companies. Maybe the reason that the pharmaceutical companies never get any negative coverage is because like 75% of all advertising in the United States on cable networks is done by pharmaceutical companies. And maybe the only reason that the pharmaceutical companies run ads on these networks at all to begin with is just so the news won't cover the bad stuff about all these companies, because it's a conflict of interest and against their contract agreements. I mean, you think anybody gets Ozempic because they see an ad that says, Ozempic? Do you think anybody signs up for Zoloft because they saw an ad of somebody who was unhappy in the first half, barely happier in the second half, and met with, in rare cases, death in the final 10 seconds? No, these companies buy the ad space on these networks to ensure that the CNNs, the MSNBCs, the Fox Newses, and others never cover any of the side effects of the drugs negatively, because it's a conflict of interest for them to disparage their clients, their customers. And there you have Elton John performing, Michael Jackson visiting, Ryan White, the dead hemophiliac from the 80s, because the pharmaceutical companies killed him intentionally. So I think we need to start doing an assessment of who the bad guy here is. Is it the Second Amendment? Or is it the pharmaceutical companies? Is it Vladimir Putin? Or is it the AI companies? Is it the Palantirs? Is it the BlackRocks? Is it the Metas? Is it the Googles? Because I'm looking at these technocrats here, and they've acted real nice lately. They've come around. They've shaken hands with the president. They've started saying how cool he is for standing up and saying fight, fight, fight after he got his ear blasted off by somebody likely on SSRIs. MKUltra brainwashed to the max. Now I'm thinking to myself, I don't want the CCP to win this AI race or this space race, but if we win it, that means those technocrats win it, the pharmaceutical companies win it. And then it's our own version of tyranny. I guess we're just left with a choice between, hey, do you want the U.S. government to be your false evil god above you, or do you want the CCP to be your false evil god above you into the 21st century? And we all want to choose the U.S. government, but we'd really like a third option, wouldn't we? We'd really like just freedom and liberty and our rights to be protected and all the corruption to be weeded out. We'd really like to see some indictments of the political class so we can at least scare some sense or some morality or a conscience into these institutions responsible for the death or hijacking of the minds of millions upon millions of people. And folks, there is a war on for your mind, and it has reached a pinnacle. And I know we all like to think that we think for ourselves, but we really don't think for ourselves to the extent that we'd like to. Not even me, not even Alex Jones. We are all susceptible to manipulation and coercion by algorithms and bad actors and billionaire masterminds who want to hijack what we say and what we do. And we have to fight for our rights, for freedom, for truth, for free speech right now before it's too late, because it almost is. So please, for the love of God, go to the alexjonesstore.com. Take advantage of these incredible offers. Get the Bovine Colostrum Plus, plus any other supplement on the store for 50% off. Not just because it's incredible for your mind and body, but because it's the only way we can win the only war that matters, the information war. Go to the alexjonesstore.com right now and stay with us.
Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there, with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone that is the precursor to glutathione, and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off. Unless you've been hiding under a rock, everyone knows that Shilajit is one of the most incredible super nutrients, and they don't even know how it's formed deep under the earth. It's just got incredible amino acids and natural peptides that nothing else has. And what does it do for you? Everything. Your skin, your clarity, your focus. I'm on this stuff. Your wife, your girlfriend will thank you. That's just a little side issue. Shilajit's awesome, but this is the best, purest, strongest Shilajit with a whole bunch of other badass stuff in it. We throw the kitchen sink at you because we want it to work, and it will. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. So get this great t-shirt design and hundreds of others, the biggest selection at thealexjonesstore.com, funding the Second American Revolution worldwide. God almighty.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Run, you've spent $10. Eat an ancestral diet and your stomach issues will go away. Mainly meats and a few do of fruits.
Holy dude, do you fucking people ever get tired of this? You fucking loser. Eat an ancestral diet. Hey, shut the fuck up and kill yourself, dude. No one has told you this yet, but someone needs to. Shut the fuck up and kill yourself.
Right. I forgot that this clip had so many F-bombs in it. I'm going to pull it, even though the first five isn't picked up by most radio stations. Nick Fuentes has been on fire lately, by the way. And I've been trying to figure out why. And the best reason I can come up with is that his content's just been absolutely incredible. Astounding. I didn't used to be a big fan of Nick Fuentes. Not because I had any problem with him per se, but when he was in the old studio with kind of the spaceship vibe and the stuff going on in the background, it came off very like alt-right, fringe right in a cheap way to me. But now that he's got the new studio and he's matured so much as a broadcaster, I mean, he is a sophisticated artist of the monologue. Incredible debater. Always been kind to me. I don't know him very well personally. But I want to bring up Fuentes because we're going to see a lot happen over the course of the next 4 or 5 years. And everything is going to change. And it's because of people like Fuentes and others. It's not just Fuentes, but he's on a generational run here. We are going to see the rug pulled out from under the Republican Party. That whole evangelical, Zionist, Israel, our greatest ally, only democracy in the region, all that stuff is going away. I promise. And it doesn't matter what some pastor says with his three on the side, scissors on top haircut, and his crew gel. It doesn't matter what these leaders at these churches say. Because the American people are going to be fed up with seeing image after image, video after video of starving child in Gaza. And look, we're fed up right now with the fact that this conflict has led to footage being released by Laura Loomer proving that these Gazan refugees are coming over to the United States of America in droves. And I know it's not fair to say that all the Gazans are terrorists. After all, that's the excuse used by Israel to commit a genocide in the region. Remember, 70-80% of all the buildings in the region have been destroyed or damaged. 2.1 million people live there. Estimated 12,000 Hamas fighters left maximum. So barely any of them are associated with Hamas. Half of them children. Obviously starving, not just because Hamas has taken the food away. I mean, Israel's trying to make it as uncomfortable to live there as possible because they want the region to be totally vacated. They want an evacuation of the region so they can go in and stabilize it without anybody there who's a terrorist, regardless of how many innocents are impacted, so that they can establish the IMEC corridor through the port of Haifa without it getting bombed all the time by Palestinians. That's what they're trying to do. They're willing to commit a genocide in order to stabilize the region so they can establish trade, protect the dollar as global reserve currency. They have decided that it's okay sometimes to commit a genocide. There's one that they're not too happy with. There's one that they really don't like. There's one that they really want you to know about that they absolutely hate. It's terrible that that one happened. It was totally racist. It was totally uncalled for. They really, 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 really hate the one genocide that happened that one time over the course of several years. It was bad, but this one is okay. This one's all right. Let's just blow people up constantly when they're picking up bodies of their wounded or their dead. Let's just ensure that they never get food. And look, I'm not trying to be here and just gripe about Israel. It's boring. It's old news. Everybody already kind of knows how they feel. We just saw a few moments of Nick Fuentes being a genius, and I'm telling you that what happened in Germany in the 1920s is going to happen in the United States in the 2020s if we don't stop allowing ourselves to be taken advantage of by Israel, because people are not going to distinguish like they should. They're not going to distinguish between Israel and Jews because they didn't before. History rhymes. Folks, stay with us for more news on the other side of this very short break. Make sure you go to thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason that we will always be on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate CMOS has been by far and away our best-selling product on the AlexJonesStore.com when we launched it some months ago. Now, we've had a hard time keeping the gummies in stock, so we formulated the capsules while we wait on more gummies to come in. Now, Irish CMOS is something that's known to be incredible for your body because of the natural iodine that exists in it. It's not just any iodine, it's also abundantly bioavailable. Now, if you don't know, iodine is incredible for your health and supports your body's ability to detoxify itself. Check out Ultimate CMOS capsules right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Not only are you fighting for your health, your immunity, and your body's ability to detoxify itself, but you're fighting for humanity as well by keeping Alex Jones on the air, InfoWars on the air, and this crew operating to broadcast the truth worldwide wherever it is being censored, just like your body is under relentless assault and needs Ultimate CMOS capsules in order to fight off all the toxins that you're met with. So is InfoWars under assault and needs the audience. So go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and subscribe for Ultimate CMOS capsules every month.
Fortune tanto vorrà, si dirà chi può sorcellis, fortune a vivi vorrà, su tra di prebellis.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
There are a lot of geopolitical experts, or supposed experts, on the left, the right, putting out all their different talking points, all their different ideas about whether or not President Trump's summit with Vladimir Putin last Friday in Alaska was successful or not. Well, the answer is it was extremely successful. And if you actually study the different aspects to it, it was very transparent from the U.S. side and from the side of Russia. Bottom line, Russia has strategically, hands down, won its proxy war, that is the West proxy war against Russia, against NATO, against the EU, against the globalist, and against the United States. It's been financing over 80% of it and running all the intelligence operations and the targeting and launching and controlling of the high-tech smart munitions, like the cruise missiles. And so Russia has won. They're outproducing weapons 3-1. Trump understands strategically this has driven Russia into the hands of China. He understands the EU is financially and politically collapsing, and it's not allied with the United States. So it's not good for the United States to be involved in this war. Plus, it's killed over 1 million people, and it threatens to escalate into full war and then nuclear war, according to all the major think tanks and war games, including the Pentagon and RAND Corporation. So Trump's been saying if Zelensky won't make a deal and be reasonable about Crimea that the Russians took in 2014 and a corridor there in eastern Ukraine, that the Russians are simply going to go in to the two big remaining cities, including Kiev, encircle them in the near future, and then force the population out and then level them and remove Zelensky. So the Russians want elections. They want a ceasefire, then elections. And then they've said they will pull back and they will even cut back on the amount of land they were planning to keep. And they have the cards because they won unless we go to full war with Russia. And that's what the EU has been talking about with NATO, but they haven't created the troop numbers to do it or put the money for to do it. And again, it leads to simple escalation. That's why it's insane not to reverse this. Then you've got images of Trump pointing his finger at Putin and, oh, look, they flew a B-2 bomber over Putin with Trump, threatening him. No, it was a show of U.S. force the world and Trump promoting our weapon systems like he does every other industry we've got, whether it's energy or car production, you name it. It was about American pride. And if Trump would have gone there, they would have had similar military parades as well. This is just standard. So none of it was to threaten Putin. Putin got what he wants. He wants to come back to the international community. He wants to get their oil sold around the world. He wants to de-escalate this. He did not want NATO to go in there. And Zelensky and NATO were saying, the only deal we'll take is entering NATO, and the Russians paying $500 billion in reparations and, you know, giving up all the land. It's not going to happen. So Trump has not abandoned Zelensky. He's not setting up to fail. Zelensky and his puppet controllers have failed. That's the reality, like Trump told him 5 months ago in the Oval Office when he spanked Zelensky. You don't hold the cards. The only reason you have any cards is because of us. The Russians hold the cards, and the U.S. holds the cards. That's it. That's the facts. And so I just call balls and strikes. I'm not an apologist for Trump. I don't cheerlead stuff he does I think is wrong. But on Russia and on de-escalation and even on Iran, though I didn't support the bombing, he did that to limit it and shut down the Israel lobby. That's worked out so far as well. Time will tell. But Trump is doing the best job he can on trade, on the economy, on going after the globalist ESG scores. That's the global corporate governance program that I'll get into another report later. Their whole carbon tax New World Order system is collapsing. They're cutting off the NGOs, the leftist funding, to NPR and all the rest of it. This is a real revolution. So I'm very, very pleased, very, very blessed. I think we all are. I'll continue to press Trump on things that he's wrong on. I'll target bad folks in his administration. That's our job. Hold his feet to the fire. It's the left, the globalists, that are panicking. We're holding Trump's administration feet to the fire and helping give them good intel and supercharge where they're doing the right thing and resist when they start going the wrong direction. But this is a great, good start. I've now predicted that the next few months, if Zelensky and the NATO don't back off and make the deal, that the U.S. will pull all funding and all military support and intelligence, and then Russia will just basically go in and invade, encircle the two remaining cities, and then NATO may go ahead and fully escalate into full war. That it may be insane enough to. I don't think they will, but the U.S. won't be in that new third world war, and the U.S. won't be in that potential nuclear war. And that's why Trump's sticking up for the interest of America, world peace, and common sense. That's the facts, and we should all be very, very thankful for that. And people opposing Trump on this, like the left winning endless war and Sean Penn saying use nukes on Russia, they are criminally insane and a threat to all of humanity.
Well, as usual, Alex Jones is right. Everybody who wants this war is the globalist cabal. Europe wants it, all the European Union, because they want to ensure that Ukrainian resources are always diverted to Europe. And the national security apparatus here in the United States of America wants this war to happen because they're incredibly paranoid about what the future of Russia looks like into the 21st century. These entities think 100 years, 50, 100 years at a time, unlike us Americans who think one generation at a time, constantly micromanaging and analyzing every generation. There was the boomers, there was a silent generation, there was Gen X, there's Gen Z, there's a millennial generation. We each have our own idiosyncrasies, our own details. We think one generation at a time, but the Chinese, the Russians, and the national security apparatus think decades and decades into the future at a time. And they want these wars to go on and on and on and on, even though it's totally untenable, basically because all of our money is a lie. But you can't fix the money problem without massive disruption. And the only way to really disrupt it successfully without a civil war or a revolutionary war here in the United States of the people versus the political class is to divert whatever backs the dollar now, the petrodollar, away from oil into something else. Likely energy. We've likely got to figure out a way to generate or capture or harness infinite energy and license it to the rest of the world, demanding that they lease it from us using U.S. dollars in order to perpetuate the current monetary system that we have. That's the only way that we can keep it from collapsing in on itself. And I don't know if that's going to happen. If it does happen, it's unlikely that it's going to happen in the next 3 years or so. At the pace that we're going, we're not going to solve this problem under this administration. And if the collapse happens in 28 or 29, then we're going to see the exact same political outcomes from 29 through the 30s into the 40s that we saw from the last 1929 through the 1930s into the 1940s. We're going to see World War III. That's what's on the horizon for us. I know things feel hunky-dory and good now. We stopped the bleeding at the border. We're starting to have some indictments of the political class. Hopefully, we're seeing some good things happen with inflation basically halted altogether. We've got some problems like interest rates and not finding the missing children fast enough and the Epstein files not coming out publicly. We've got little things to complain about for sure. But the real problem is our monetary system itself, and nobody's complaining about it in an interesting way. Not since Ron Paul. We've got the Adam Schiff's coming out and some Bitcoin people coming out. We've got End the Fed and we've got the Creature from Jekyll Island and we've got these nuanced, very intelligent libertarians who are aware of the problem, who debate the difference between Austrian and Keynesian economics, who go into the details of the principles of capitalism with the invisible hand from Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations. But the average American, IQ 100 and lower, that's half the population, average IQ and lower, does not understand the grave threat that we are being faced with. And the IQs 100 to 120, the smarter portion of our population, is too busy with their careers to really pay attention. The geniuses are all professors at higher education institutions totally hijacked and sabotaged by Marxism, critical theory, critical thought. There's no one really talking about the fact that our entire monetary system is one massive Ponzi scheme, and when they can't tax you directly, they tax you indirectly with inflation, and eventually GDP is not going to keep up with the rate of inflation as a result of the very nature of our monetary policy, causing a total economic collapse similar to what happened in 1929, leading to the same radicalism that was catalyzed worldwide after 1929. And so this collapse is going to happen, and everyone's going to blame populism and capitalism, when really it was globalism and Marxism that caused this whole thing, and our own deep state's corruption that caused it. But there's no accountability within our own deep state, because it has become the fourth unchecked branch of government. So the deep state, with all of its power, with its monopoly on information, is going to be able to determine for the people of the United States of America who is to blame. And those who don't believe whatever narrative is used by the deep state will just blame the Jews. Just like they did in the 1920s and 1930s. And look, Israel is a major problem. Massive corruption from Mossad. Massive blackmailing. Massive lack of protecting our interests over the Israeli interests. Representation in our own political class. But people are not nuanced in their thinking, and they will not distinguish between Jews and Israel. So the same thing that's happened 400 times in the past is going to happen again. Massive economic collapse, minorities blamed, patriots blamed, total political revolution, death to the tune of millions upon millions, because the main difference between 2029 and 1929 is nuclear power and artificial intelligence. Total hijacking of the mind of the people worldwide by the technocratic elite, while simultaneous military dominance, the ability to destroy the entire planet by the military-industrial complex. And so when I think about time and my future, as a father, as an American, as a young man, 34 years old, I am deeply concerned that the next 3 years are all we have left of normalcy until these issues are resolved, likely not until the mid or late 2040s. And I'm doing everything I can to try to prevent this from happening. I'm doing everything I can to try to support Trump when he needs to be supported, to criticize him where he needs to be criticized, but to get him moving on these fundamental issues, because I don't trust the BlackRocks or the Palantirs or the Metas or the Goldman Sachs or the pharmaceutical companies or my own deep state, the IRS, the FBI, the NSA, the CIA. I don't trust these institutions that successfully branded themselves as heroic and powerful in the Latin half of the 20th century. With the Jack Ryans coming out, the incredible movies coming out, of the capabilities of our own intelligence, of the capabilities of our own military-industrial complex, from Rambo to Top Gun, to The Good Shepherd with Matt Damon and Alec Baldwin. About all the secrets and the efficacy and the entrenched nature of our intelligence community in undermining the Soviet Union. Because what we have done is, instead of creating a Captain America, a superhero, we have inadvertently created a supervillain with no accountability, infinite money, infinite resources, infinite technology, and it's the only alternative that we've been given to total dominance and tyranny from the CCP or the globalists. And when I take your calls later on in the show, I want to hear what you think. about how we solve this problem, because really, it's the only problem. It's going to play out in different ways. There are major pieces on the board, but this is the chess game that's being played. It's the globalists versus the national sovereignty versus the special interests. And they're all vying for power and acting like everything is fine because they understand that as soon as we wake up and know what's really going on, there'll be some accountability. And if there's accountability, they know that they'll be swinging. If you want to know what these people are like, all you got to do is look at their pundits. This went viral this week. Hot Mike catches an angry Jake Tapper during Trump-Putin meeting in Alaska. Let's just watch clips 4, 6, and 7 back to back and unpack it.
Let's go back to Jake in Anchorage. Jake?
I'm fine. Just give me my show back.
Show's back.
All right, here we go. So let's go now to Senator Schiff, who we have here. Senator Schiff is joining me, ready to go. And Democratic Senator from California. Race, yes. She knows I went to big race. And that the physical war to stop that will end, or at least ceasefire.
Jake, I think I lost you.
But that's not inherently. Now, we're having real comms problems today. I'm sorry about that. If anybody can hear me, let's go throw it back to New York. Okay, maybe.
Jake, thanks very much.
Now we're being told.
Jake, thanks very much. We'll try to fix the comms problem back with the panel.
Unbelievable. I think Adam Schiff was trying to run some cover there. But these are the people. I just want my show back. Complaining. They're always so terrible to the help. You ever notice that? You can really tell the character of a person based on how they treat average people. That's one of the things that I've learned about Democrats, because I do have family that's lived and worked in the D.C. area, and they talk about the difference between the way that they're treated by Republicans versus Democrats, and Republicans suck too, but you've got the Nancy Pelosi's and the others that come in to restaurants or bars, they treat the help like lesser than, they tip barely anything whatsoever, while they claim that they advocate for minorities and the most vulnerable among us. We know that they're trash people, that they're garbage people. You got Tapper up there snapping on his camera guy saying, I just want my show back! He doesn't even bother to say, look, I'm not mad at the crew, but we're going to have to go to rebroadcast if I don't get my show back. I mean, you can at least pretend to be uncomfortable with being critical of the people that he works with, but no, he's so elite with his Warby Parkers in his suit. He's so brilliant because he's got this book that's out now where he's pretending that he was ever a real journalist when we know that he was anything but. And I don't want to just focus on this incessantly because it's really just one of those hot mic kind of stupid moments. But these are the mockingbird people that lie on behalf of the deep state, that manipulate on behalf of the deep state. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is literally bulldozing the deep state. In fact, run clips 1, 2, and 3, kind of his B-roll in the background. I'm going to show clip 19 with audio after that, but I want to go over how the homeless issue in Washington, D.C. is literally being solved with bulldozers. It's amazing. Oh, Chase, that's so insensitive. It's so dictatorial. No, you know what's insensitive? What's insensitive is opening up the borders wide open so 30,000 CCP nationals can come into the United States, allowing for the trafficking of fentanyl to the tune of 110,000 deaths every single year, over 1 million deaths from the CCP because of fentanyl, if not deaths, then homelessness. I was driving here in Austin the other day, and I saw a woman whose entire arm, left arm, had been removed all the way up to her rib cage. I mean, she's just got flat arm like an action figure whose arm has been popped off. She's begging for money. She's skinny as a rail. She's walking back and forth with the sign, kind of rocking a little bit. She's missing her left arm. I'm thinking to myself, oh, she's right-handed. So she was injecting herself with heroin into her left arm. It got infected, and then they had to amputate it all the way up to her shoulder because she waited too long to get it cared for, and it's because of the fentanyl issue. So Trump is the insensitive one because he's bulldozing these encampments in our nation's capital, these embarrassing encampments that have been created, catalyzed, sponsored not only by our own government but by enemies of the United States of America, while the Nancy Pelosi's and others are too busy griping about Russian collusion hoax and lying the shifts with their pencil neck shtick are buying airtime, primetime airtime, to just show clips of Alex Jones to try to claim that we're responsible for some insurrection, while our own deep state has been weaponized against the American people to claim that people are political dissidents that need to be convicted or prosecuted for insurrection? While Hollywood is catalyzed and sponsored and pushed and pressured into coming out with movie after movie about how necessary a civil war is, about how great a civil war would be, because populism, after all, is the cause of all evil in the world, and there's no difference between populism and fascism, despite the fact that this deep state, run by the left, is guilty of fascist act after fascist act after fascist act. But Trump's the one that's so insensitive. Trump's the one that is not caring for the poor in this country when he's doing everything he can to fight for our own national sovereignty at all by at least advocating for the notion of a border. Here's clip 19. DC Americans have liked Trump's approach on crime. Let's watch.
Yeah, I think that Democrats have to get it around their heads that Americans are far more hawkish on crime than they think that they are. What are we talking about? Trump's net approval handling crime. Where was he last year? He was way underwater at minus 13 points views of term number one. But look at where he is now. He's on the positive side of the ledger. He's on the positive side at plus 1 point. Americans view Trump far more favorably now on crime than they did a year ago. And while this polling doesn't take into account what's exactly happening in D.C. right now, it does take into account what happened in Los Angeles, what's happened earlier this year. And Americans, for the most part, actually view Trump favorably. Crime is one of Trump's best issues. It's one of the reasons why he wants to talk about crime, because it favors him.
It will be very interesting when you can see polling that has what's happening and rolling out right now settling in to see
if it moves
what
little.
The impact really is, because it's been a lot of messaging is
yes.
what we've seen. Compare Trump to Biden in handling of crime, please.
Yeah, okay. I think this sort of gives the game away here, because Donald Trump is like Air Jordan towering over Joe Biden when it comes to their handling of crime. Look, in 2024, look at where Biden's net approval is on crime. Way underwater there at minus 26 points. It was one of Biden's worst issues. Granted, pretty much every issue was one of Biden's worst issues. And again, look at where Donald Trump is. Way, way, way above Joe Biden. What is that? That's 27 points. So Americans vastly prefer Donald Trump's approach to crime than they did to Joe Biden's. And again, I think it gets back to the point that Americans are far more hawkish on crime than a lot of Democrats want to admit.
Americans writ large, but how does it break down by party?
Yeah, okay. So I think that this is, we're talking about Donald Trump here, right? So I think it's very important to note that this isn't just about Donald Trump. It's about Republicans versus Democrats, right? And that, of course, is a key question going into next year's midterm election. I think the party closest to your views on crime, look, in 2023, Republicans were favored by 13 points. Look at where they were in May of this year. Republicans were actually favored by 16 points. They actually gained ground on crime. They were maintaining their edge and actually added a little bit to it. So Republicans in the House, Republicans in the Senate, they absolutely want to be talking about crime. The more they feel that we're talking about crime, the better they feel that the electoral landscape is for them.
Okay. It's good to see you. Thank you.
Well, there you have it, folks. Republicans gaining ground in the word of crime, the topic of crime. There's even articles coming out saying that Trump should send the National Guard to New York City to clear up the homelessness. Even here in Austin, Texas, the city voted. All the people of the city got to vote on the homelessness issue. And as liberal as Austin, Texas is, it's the San Francisco of Texas. Something like 70% of the people voted to kick the homeless out because they felt uncomfortable walking around downtown as fentanyl-laden schizophrenics screamed at them. It was embarrassing to bring people to visit. I remember I first moved here, family came to visit, and I was ashamed to drive past tent after tent after tent after tent. It was almost as bad, if not worse, than at least Southern California, where I came from. I didn't come from California, but that was where I lived right before I moved here. So Democrats aren't going to win on this idea of Trump as being so cruel to the homeless. They're not going to win on this idea of deportations being so bad and inhumane. Democrats aren't going to win on the issues of these wars. There really is a good chance, unless all hell breaks out between Ukraine and Russia and Taiwan and China in the next 18 months, which might be the plan. There is no way that Democrats are going to win the midterms or the 2028 election unless some seriously bad things happen or Trump just decides to coast and not accomplish anything. But please, In the meantime, before we go to break, go to thealexjonesstore.com. We launched Bovine Colostrum Plus this week. This is absolutely incredible, delicious, effective Bovine Colostrum Plus. If you get a can of that, you can get the Ultimate Life Force, which is back in stock for 50% off. This is going to sell out fast. Subscribe for 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Anybody who's halfway informed about health and vitality knows that turmeric is one of the top super nutrients in the world. But concentrated turmeric is what you want. Most turmeric pills are 4%. That's raw. This is the strongest, 95% curcuminoid with a bunch of other concentrated super nutrients like ginger and black pepperdine. And it's finally back in stock. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies at thealexjonesstore.com. Just go see what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says about turmeric. And this stuff is the Godzilla of turmeric. And it funds the InfoWar. And while you're at thealexjonesstore.com, be sure to check out the widest selection anywhere of Patriot 1776 Part 2. Incredible clothing, ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies. It's all there, like this baby, the Second American Revolution, at thealexjonesstore.com. And you're funding the tip of the spear in the Second American Revolution when you support us. So I thank and salute you all. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com. Unless you've been hiding under a rock, everyone knows that Shilajit is one of the most incredible super nutrients, and they don't even know how it's formed deep under the earth. It's just got incredible amino acids and natural peptides that nothing else has. And what does it do for you? Everything. Your skin, your clarity, your focus. I'm on this stuff. Your wife, your girlfriend will thank you. That's just a little side issue. Shilajit's awesome, but this is the best, purest, strongest Shilajit with a whole bunch of other badass stuff in it. We throw the kitchen sink at you because we want it to work, and it will. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. So get this great t-shirt design and hundreds of others, the biggest selection, at thealexjonesstore.com, funding the Second American Revolution worldwide. God almighty.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
You are the Paul Revere's. InfoWars is the tip of the spear, and you're listening to Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the The Alex Jones Show. I am your host, Chase Geiser. For the next 2 hours and 27 minutes, I will be taking your calls at the end of the transmission. And we do expect two more reports from Alex Jones as well, so make sure you stay tuned for those. The State Department abruptly halts visa releases for Gazans after Loomer exposes shocking footage of refugees shipped into America. I want to show you clips 15 and 16 back-to-back. They're actually the same clip, but one of them's got music on it. Let's run these and then unpack it. Children from Gaza arrive in San Francisco through Heal Palestine. You can see them at the airport, tons of photos being taken, lots of Hamas garb as well. Palestinian flag. One child in a wheelchair, presumably injured from explosions, not sure. You know, a lot of people are confused. You know how earlier I was talking about how there's a massive failure for people to understand nuance. For example, people assume that if you don't support Ukraine, it's because you love Russia. Or they believe that if you don't support Russia, it's because you love Ukraine. And we've seen the same dichotomy, false dichotomy, between Israel and Palestine. Oh, well, if you don't support Israel, then you must love terrorists and Hamas in the Gaza Strip. Or, oh, if you're critical of anyone in the Gaza Strip, then you must just be another Israel shill. Why don't you be like Charlie Kirk, fly over there and put your hand on the Roman wall with the little funny hat? But what if they all suck? And I'm sick of seeing time and time again children used as the weapon to pull the heartstrings to get us to be behind something that's absolutely terrible. Look, I understand that what Israel has done since October 7th has been terrible. I understand that what Israel did on October 7th was terrible. I understand that when this October 7th attack happened, it was conducted, perpetuated by real terrorists from the Gaza Strip. But I also understand that Netanyahu allowed it to happen, that there was a 7-hour stand down, that it was used intentionally as an excuse to justify the disproportionate response that we've seen. I understand that there's a problem with exploding pagers all over a country, regardless of whether or not these people happen to be eating dinner with young children or in a public grocery store with innocent people standing by. I understand that there's a problem with destroying 70 to 80% of all buildings in an entire region when a very small percentage of that population is actually responsible for funding or supporting terrorism. I understand that there's something unjust about eradicating all of these people in this region. I also understand that the marriage rate between cousins in the Gaza Strip is like 40%. 40% of all marriages between first and second cousins. I understand that the average IQ in the Gaza Strip is 85 or lower, not because of some genetic inferiority of the race, but because of this incest. And these studies were conducted by Saudi Arabia. It wasn't just some Western Christian study conducted in order to make Islam look bad. Islam absolutely sucks. And just because Israel allowed it to happen doesn't mean that the Palestinians are innocent for doing it. Just like with 9/11, we probably let it happen, but there were real terrorists flying those planes into those buildings, at least the first two. Don't know about the Pentagon. That one's real fishy. Certainly not Building 7. Probably knew it was going to happen, but somebody was radicalized enough to hijack a plane and fly it into a building. Maybe it was remote controlled. I don't know. I doubt it. Certainly terrorists took credit for it. The letter from Osama bin Laden that went viral. So the conclusion that I've come to is that the government in Israel sucks as a terrorist organization, and that the leadership in Gaza sucks and is a terrorist organization, and that Islam is a terrible religion that justifies the marriage between first and second cousins to each other, the abuse of young children. We've heard story after story about how this is conducted in Afghanistan. And it's really ruined an entire population over the course of the last 1,000 to 1,500 years. 1,000 years. Because of this practice of cousin marriage. I also understand that it makes no sense whatsoever for evangelical Christians to be Zionists because Israel chosen people when it's a nation that literally denies Christ. And I'm not trying to be anti-Semitic here. I have Jewish friends. I love them. I adore them. In fact, I don't think I've ever met somebody personally who was Jewish who I didn't like or didn't admire in some way. That being said, Bibi Netanyahu can go to hell. Mossad can go to hell. The IDF can go to hell. The Israeli government can go to hell. Not all Jews, but I don't want to fund their genocide, and I also don't want to take the refugees from the Gaza Strip into the United States when their average IQ is lower than 85, the average age is lower than 18, when a vast number of them are totally okay with things like cousin marriage or suicide bombing. You've seen the Pew studies, the Pew research. We've seen how many Muslims in the United States of America are okay with suicide bombing. And if you do the studies in the United Kingdom or in Germany or in France or any other area of Europe that has been totally hijacked and taken over by these Muslims, we see that they're all radical. They're all violent. Not all of them, but all the violence of the radicalism comes from them. There's exceptions to every rule, and I believe in freedom of religion in the United States of America. You should be able to practice Islam if you want to practice Islam, but don't you think that maybe we should have some policies in place that protect the integrity of our culture so we don't wind up with Muslim mayor, Muslim mayor, Muslim mayor, Muslim governor, Muslim governor, Muslim senator, Muslim senator, Muslim representative, Muslim representative? If we don't want Muslim trashed stuff to happen, I'm sorry. Call me Islamophobic all you want. Maybe Islamophobia is just and right. Maybe we should be averse to certain cultures that do the things that their culture does. I mean, the only thing that I've seen from Islamic countries that I like is they still have hot flight attendants. They still have enough misogyny over there that their flight attendants are foxy. I was walking through the airport recently. I saw fat American flight attendant, old American flight attendant, fat, ugly flight attendant, gay flight attendant, gay flight attendant, bleached hair, frosted tips, gay flight attendant, ugly, fat, short, ugly, fat, short, ugly, fat, gay, short, flight attendant. Then I walk past Qatar Airlines, and I am met with Arabian foxes that you would expect to be in a harem surrounding a pharaoh of ancient Egypt. And I'm like, oh my God, somewhere there are beautiful flight attendants. So Islam does have some of its perks. It has some nice things about it. But when you've got a massive cleft lip problem or deformity problem or IQ problem or retarded problem because of all the incest marriage, I guess that's probably the real reason for the hijab. Hey, we got to cover up that downs. Don't want anybody else to see all the downs. Let's go walk in circles around this giant cube like a sugar cube dropped on an anthill. Not exactly a bastion of genius happening there with the big black cube that somebody put there. Didn't just float down from the sky. There she is, baby. That's the uniform. That's the look. At least I got something right. But Qatar isn't the issue. Palestine, Iran, Afghanistan, Iraq, these rural communities. We saw that boxer that was from that country, from some rural town, and everyone's like, she's a man, she's a man, she's a man. That just annihilated that woman in the Olympics. I've never been hit so hard, she said. Do you remember that? That was a few months ago. So I don't want these people over here. That's my point. I don't want these people here in the United States of America. I mean, look at this clip 31. This just happened. This is an illegal immigrant, apparently an illegal immigrant, not 100% sure, but apparently an illegal immigrant that is being investigated for homicide now because they did a U-turn where they weren't supposed to do a U-turn while driving a semi-truck that resulted in the death of that car that smashes into the back. And look how brazenly they just don't care. Look at the face of the guy. He's like, oh, I'm going to put it in park, turn it off. Just standing around. He's not crying. He's not upset. He's not emotional that someone just died because he did an illegal U-turn. Just totally chill. I'm just going to stand back and watch as they pull this car out from under the semi and rip this dead body out while I performed an illegal U-turn here in the United States of America. Just absolutely love it, don't you? It makes you want to have artificial intelligence run all the semis. Maybe we need this automatic driving for the cars. Maybe the New World Order takeover is actually a good thing because at least we won't have trash like this happening. But the same technocrats that run that technology are the political elites that allow for people like that to come into this country illegally. Or just allow for the influx of thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions of people that hate this country, hate its people, that are totally fine with the notion of white people being bred out, Western civilization being bred out, the eradication of capitalism and freedom and our values, the villainization of all our founding fathers, the disrespect of our Messiah, our religious freedoms, our rights. And you got the Elizabeth Warrens and others just cross-eyed. This is a Muslim ban. Do you remember that crap from the 2016 term? The first 4 years of Donald Trump? This is a Muslim ban! You mean you just want it to come here? Elizabeth Warren? You want it to come here? It's a disease. It's an infection, just like Marxism. And it's being used by some shadowy cabal of elites to erode the very fabric of any civilization that stands a chance to rise up against tyranny. That's what I think. I'm sorry that it sounds Islamophobic. I don't want to be bigoted, but I'd rather be right and bigoted than wrong and leftist. They're bigoted in their own way. Because they hate you. Then you have the Gavin Newsom's with the audacity. I'm going to show clip 18 in a second. The audacity to come out and criticize Trump because they raided one of his rallies. ICE raided one of his rallies and they're trying to deport all these people. Like, you give a damn Gavin Newsom about the little guy while you're eating at the French Laundry, forcing everyone else to shut down their businesses and wear masks. Let's watch 18.
The mayor of Los Angeles and the governor of California were in the largest sanctuary city and the largest sanctuary state in America. They refused to turn over tens of thousands of serial criminal illegal aliens to ICE so they get arrested by state or local authorities and they get cut loose. They then go on to commit crimes like assault, armed robbery, home invasion, and murder. The most unimaginable, egregious crimes you could think of. All of that blood, all of that suffering, all of that heartache, squarely on the soul and conscience of California's governor and the mayor of Los Angeles. They are guilty of crimes against humanity. They are facilitating child trafficking, sex trafficking. Look, they think this is a game. They think this is a joke. This is life and death. When you meet with the families, as you have, Griff, whose loved ones have been raped and killed and slaughtered by criminal illegal aliens who have no right to be in this country, what Newsom are doing and what Bass is doing are unforgivable. And God bless our ICE agents and Border Patrol agents for going out there and doing this mission on behalf and on the orders of President Trump to make America safe for our citizens. The Democrat Party seems to only care about two groups right now, criminals and illegal aliens. And that's it. Donald Trump's Republican Party is fighting for law-abiding American citizens, and you're seeing the results right here in Washington, D.C., where the most violent city that we have in this country is now becoming, day by day, and will become one of the safest cities in the whole country.
I cannot believe that this just happened to be a coincidence.
There is no way this was a coincidence. This was widely publicized that the governor and many of our other elected officials were having a press conference here to talk about redistricting, and they decided they were going to come and thumb their nose in front of the governor's face. Why would you do that? That is unbelievably disrespectful. It's a provocative act. They're talking about disorder in Los Angeles, and they are the source of the disorder in Los Angeles right now. This is just completely unacceptable. This is a administration, this is a Customs and Border Patrol that has gone amok. This absolutely has to stop. There was no danger here. There was no need to detain anyone here. And there was certainly no need to have a provocative act right here where the governor is having.
Not exactly an American hero, huh? And maybe part of the problem is we're falling into this idiocracy fallacy. We're allowing the most incompetent, foolish, stupid, dumb, and not even well-intending at this point people to lead our cities. From the AOCs to the Ilhan Omars to whatever that lady, the mayor of LA's name is. I always forget her name because she's so obnoxious and irrelevant. We're just surrounded by a lack of competence. I mean, it's like in politics, you can be terrible at your job and have it for 40 years. But in any other job in the United States of America, you have to be excellent at it. Otherwise, you lose it or it's outsourced to some Indian or H-1B visa or migrant. Why is it that we have zero accountability for this entire political class? Zero competence demanded whatsoever in every other field. And we're heading into this artificial intelligence war, this space war, and there's a major crisis happening right now in physics. Did you know that? Physics, of course, being abundantly important for things like engineering new rockets, getting us to Mars, building bases on the moon, building the Golden Dome so we can have dominance in the next century, establishing artificial intelligence that isn't just run by a technocratic elite, but there's enough decentralization so that we can compete from the ground up with the top-down funding of this technology to ensure that it doesn't just totally hijack the minds of the entire population and take over on all fronts whatsoever. Physics being incredibly important, physicists, engineers, things like that, totally necessary for any sort of U.S. dominance, freedom, or liberation in the 21st century. But we've got incompetence after incompetence. We've got censorship after censorship. And everybody in physics is so distracted with whether string theory is real or not. They're so held up by the fact that they can't criticize any of their mentors or their peers that they're silenced. And when they have something good that comes out, it's immediately classified because it's a national security threat. How is it that we are going to win anything into the next century against China or Russia or any of our competitors when our own engineers, our own elite aren't even capable of doing anything whatsoever? Here's Eric Weinstein talking about this in clip 46. Let's watch.
It's very interesting. Physics has gone stagnant in terms of how we usually measure progress. The way we measure progress is the change in something called the action or the Lagrangian, the specialized device. And that used to change a lot, and then in 1973 it stopped changing. The major thing that we have is we have no new ideas about how to change the Lagrangian that anybody finds that exciting or interesting. So there's been no progress. Nobody goes to Stockholm to get a Nobel Prize because they changed the Lagrangian of the world. And there's this bizarre force field that anybody who wants to talk about physics and doing something new, in particular leaving or traversing time or multiple dimensions of time, anything that's really close to what might be possible gets slammed. We don't know why. Because it's very cheap to explore ideas, and we have no new ideas. But the only thing about a new idea in physics is that a new idea changes the balance of power in the world. Physicists are the only occupation in the country that doesn't have full free speech. My point is, I don't think our government knows the real secrets of physics. If I had to make a bet tomorrow, I don't think there's a secret government office that knows physics. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think that there were a bunch of very smart people who knew how dangerous physics was and that the idea that we would continue to do it in public struck them as insane.
Because it could lead to destruction.
When I tell you that the most dangerous idea in human history is maybe there's a neutral version of the proton, that's supposed to sound insane.
Mm-hmm.
But the entire chain of ideas results in nuclear fusion happening on Earth at the direction of the President of the United States. And that's what I'm trying to get at, which people don't understand, which is you probably don't even realize that the Department of Energy is really the Department of Physics. Because we pretend that it's the Department of Energy. Like we had a War Department that became the Department of Defense.
We're scared of the possibility of physics.
We don't even want to talk about it. The literally no other occupation has lost free speech like physics. There's a special doctrine called restricted data that says you cannot write physics on a napkin. Even if you have nothing to do with the government, I think even if you're not an American, if it has anything that could possibly have to do with nuclear weapons. In other words, any advance that might have to do with nuclear weapons, you have to recognize that the instant you put pen to paper or you start talking to somebody, you're committing a violation of the 1917 Espionage Act. And if you think that's crazy, start exploring the words restricted data, 1917 Espionage Act, 1946 and 1954 Atomic Energy Acts, the doctrine of born secret. It is illegal to pursue Q clearance data if you don't have a Q clearance, but if you're creating Q clearance data out of your own head as a byproduct of trying to do physics, you are actually potentially committing a capital offense.
You know the real reason that nuclear power went away, right? Nuclear power used to be the forefront of conversation around energy. Then the government realized that the leap from nuclear power to nuclear weaponization was a small leap. They realized that, hey, if India has nuclear power, I guess they can have a nuclear weapon very soon. That's what happened. As soon as that happened, we saw the massive demonization of nuclear power because we don't want other countries experimenting with nuclear power, advocating for nuclear power, wanting nuclear power, because then they will soon all become nuclear powers. So what he's talking about right there is exactly in line with what we've seen with this energy crisis. We have the way to create infinite energy. We just don't push it because we don't want random countries throughout the world developing nuclear energy and then getting nuclear weapons and totally destabilizing the national security interests of the United States of America. That's what's really going on. Plus, we don't want an alternative to oil as a source of energy in the world because our currency is completely dependent on oil. So we have to find some alternative method of energy that isn't nuclear, but isn't oil, and we have to license it and have a monopoly over it and our own understanding over it, and everything else that experiments with it or discovers it has to be classified immediately. That's why the physicists at all of our institutions keep talking about string theory and boring stuff, and they get stuck in their dogma, their scientific dogma. Yes, there's such a thing. It's just as much a cult as any other cult or religion is. Because on the surface, our national security apparatus wants the spies in our institutions to think there's only one type of physics that's happening whatsoever. Then all the best scientists and physicists get grabbed at a very young age, maybe even before they graduate from undergrad, put into these top secret SCIFs, these top secret research institutions, and they're developing alternative forms of energy 100%. They're not necessarily nuclear, but they are infinite, and they're just trying to develop it so they can replace the petrodollar, have energy dominance for the United States. That's what my hope is, at least. My hope is that we already have the technology, and it's just a matter of finagling it so we can have a monopoly on infinite energy, license it to the rest of the world in dollars, get out of the petrodollar, get out of the Middle East as a result of that, and then establish total world peace by licensing infinite energy to third world, second world, and first world countries alike. Basically ending the necessity for war whatsoever. That's what I was hoping is going to happen with this Golden Dome. That's what I'm hoping our national security apparatus is going to do. And frankly, I think they have the power to do it. The only thing holding them back is the special interests and the corruption within the military-industrial complex, the political-industrial complex, all of the contractors and all the politicians who are invested in the different contractors that are just pushing the status quo because they think they can kick the can long enough to prevent it from collapsing while they're still bankrolling, while it's still rolling in. But every new major technological advancement has come from the government first. From the internet, to computing, to cryptocurrency, to artificial intelligence, to alternative forms of energy. Private sector does a great job of maximizing that which the military-industrial complex comes up with. But the problem is, if the source of all technology is from the military-industrial complex, then it inevitably ensures endless conflict and war into the future. Folks, we're going to get into more news on the other side of this short break. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com. We've got these ultimate turmeric gummies back in stock. They're absolutely incredible. Peach flavored. Overhead cam, please. I mean, these are absolutely delicious. They help with inflammation. I went on a hike yesterday. Went to bed last night with a swollen ankle. Took one of these. Went right away. Subscribe now for 50% off and ensure that you always get yours even when it goes out of stock, which it will very soon. And plus, keep InfoWars on the air while you're doing it. Stay with us for more news on the other side.
At TheAlexJonesStore.com, I bring you whatever I personally think is the best and the coolest. That's our marketing plan. This knife sells all day long in stores for $100 or more. We bought a whole bunch of us. We can sell it to you for $78. Stainless steel, blacked out, double-edged, razor-sharp, 1776 on the hilt, high-tech scabbard, hooks on your belt, doesn't come out, is amazing, right now at thealexandstore.com for 40% off despite the fact it's selling out. And then this, World War II updated trench knife, 10 inches, razor-sharp, stainless steel, Spartan, tip of the spear. You can get this massively discounted up to 40% off right now with the Blades and Bullion Super Sale at thealexandstore.com. And that goes for these four silver collectible coins that are selling out as well, up to 40% off right now at thealexandstore.com. So take action. Anybody who's halfway informed about health and vitality knows that turmeric is one of the top super nutrients in the world. But concentrated turmeric is what you want. Most turmeric pills are 4%. That's raw. This is the strongest, 95% curcuminoid with a bunch of other concentrated super nutrients like ginger and black pepperdine. And it's finally back in stock. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies at thealexjonesstore.com. Just go see what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says about turmeric. And this stuff is the Godzilla of turmeric. And it funds the InfoWar. And while you're at thealexjonesstore.com, be sure to check out the widest selection anywhere of Patriot 1776 Part 2. Incredible clothing, ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies. It's all there, like this baby. The Second American Revolution at thealexjonesstore.com. And you're funding the tip of the spear in the Second American Revolution when you support us. So I thank and salute you all. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com.
Receiving this.